Okay, I have some handouts for you. And we're going to go a little bit heavy today because it's doctrinal, okay? I know you believe in these doctrines. It's not that you don't, but it is concerning to me that increasingly within the churches of God, you do find people beginning to drift when it comes to these two particular doctrines. So I just want to emphasize again, I know you believe the truth of God and the word of God. And the first doctrine we're going to be talking about today is this scriptural belief that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we can claim this promise of physical healing. I know that Albert's spoken about this before, and so has Jody. I wanted you to see one of the premier linguists in all of the last 120 years or so. I wanted you to see exactly what he wrote on the subject. So I know it may seem a little bit tedious today to go through all of this, but increasingly within the churches of God, you are finding that sometimes in articles, sometimes in sermons, they do not mention the fact that by those physical stripes, you are healed, that those stripes, which Jesus Christ took upon himself, were placed upon him in a particularly vicious way, so that we could claim the physical promise of the healing, physical healing. What is beginning to happen is, I say some churches, I do not want to falsely or wrongly label any of the churches here today, but it's creeping into the churches. And frankly, I think it depends on the minister who may be doing the anointing, but increasingly you're finding more and more people believe that that scourging does not connect to the promise of physical healing. And this is particularly dangerous and particularly wrong because in no way do we ever want to minimize or misunderstand what Jesus Christ endured, the death on the cross and the scourging which preceded that death, that brutalized beating that took place. So if you would, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, this is particularly important because when we ask to be healed by God, or if we come before the ministry and we anoint with oil and we usually mention by those stripes you are healed, it's a direct reference to the physical beating of Jesus Christ, a terrible beating that he endured. And it is connected clearly to physical healing, not some type of quote-unquote spiritual healing. I think it was Albert who said here recently, increasingly, some, not all by any means, but some are teaching that healing is really primarily spiritual. And you will find occasionally in sermons or even in articles where they won't even mention the stripes of Jesus Christ or physical healing or Matthew chapter 8, which is wrong because it's a misunderstanding of what Jesus Christ endured. So I do want to emphasize again, I'm not picking on a particular group because I think what you find in larger churches of God, you'll find a mix. You'll find some ministers believe in those stripes as a reference to physical healing, but others won't even mention it. Or they just believe, well, what's most important is quote unquote spiritual healing, which you really don't find that phraseology in the scripture anyway. And there isn't the appreciation of what Jesus Christ endured in terms of this separate, terrible manner that he had to endure, which was the physical scourging. Remember, there's the wine we take at the Passover for the forgiveness of sins, spiritually speaking, forgiveness of sins. But prior to that, we partake of the bread, which represents Jesus Christ's body terribly brutalized and beaten so that we can claim the promise and certainly believe in physical healing. It's very physical. It doesn't disappear into the jungles of the nebulous world of, well, we know God loved us and he died for us and that's what really counts and God may choose to heal us or he may choose not to heal us. That type of thinking you do not find in the Word of God. So I just want to make it crystal clear, and I know you believe this already, but I wanted you to see particularly what was mentioned in the Greek. Let's get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, okay? So this is really the only point I'm driving home regarding this particular doctrine, which is becoming very blurry in the eyes of many people. This doctrine of physical healing, which is a wonderful promise, a wonderful scripture that we can grab a hold of and claim. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and Paul is talking about the Passover. Verse 27, it says, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner." So we can drink, shall we say, the blood of the Lord, that small little glass of wine, and we can also take the bread in an unworthy manner. And I do believe it's sin to take it in an unworthy manner. Now, you can go to the Passover ceremony and you can just be flippant and silly. And we know the Corinthians, apparently even some of them were somewhat drunk when they took the Passover ceremony, which was a great egregious sin. But you can also take the blood of Christ and break the bread and take the bread in an unworthy manner if you don't appreciate that that bread represents the severe scourging of our Savior, Jesus Christ, so that we can be totally convicted and confident of the desire of the Father to see physical healing take place in our lives, because the Father didn't allow the Son to go through such brutality for any of us to wonder about why did he have to suffer that scourging. That scourging was there, not as a means of forgiving or healing our spiritual sins. This is what people will talk about. It was there. He suffered and endured that terrible brutality, that beating, that scourging, because it directly relates to the fact by those stripes, we have physical healing, okay? What has happened in the churches and some of the people I know, some ministers I know, and I'm not saying the majority anywhere, I'm just saying some, what they are coming to the conclusion, and it's a very wrong conclusion, they are saying, well, don't separate the distinction between the bread and the wine. What is most important is our spiritual healing. And so again, you wander off the path, you go into this vague world of, well, what does that mean? What do you mean by that spiritual healing? That's their way of talking. And it creates confusion in people's minds. And certainly when you take that bread during the Passover service, the reason you're taking that bread is that the Father determined a long time ago that Jesus Christ would go through this brutality, this savagery, which was devastating because people would often die from the scourging. So we could believe in and be totally confident in going to God, thanking him, expecting physical healing. Okay, so I know you're all clear on this, but this is why I'm going through this today, because I want you to see the Greek in one of the greatest linguists of all times. He since has died, but he wrote this in the 1930s, and he came to the conclusion a long time ago. The references in Isaiah 53, in Matthew chapter 8, which we'll see, and other references clearly. When it talks about the stripes of Jesus Christ, there is absolutely no question about it. It is not a reference to quote-unquote spiritual healing. The brutality, the beating, the stripes, clearly from the Greek language, at least 28 times, is a clear reference to something physical, okay? So none of us wants to take the wine or the bread in an unworthy manner. It's very, very serious. Verse 29, for anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment unto himself. So I want to discern what I'm doing during that ceremony. So this is very, very serious. And I know you know that it is serious. And he even goes on to say some sleep or some prematurely died at Corinth because they did take the wine and the bread in an unworthy manner, or they didn't appreciate the significance or the meaning behind the wine and the bread. They're distinctive. They're separate. They have separate meanings. I'm not focusing on the wine today, which represents the forgiveness of our spiritual sins. I'm talking about the healing that takes place as a result of those stripes. Healing is not an asterisk at the bottom of the page. Physical healing is very important to God. It's not a minor issue. Of course, if you have people you love or you yourself are gravely ill, physical healing is very, very important. It is so important to God and to Jesus Christ that the Father determined the Son was to be savagely beaten, and Christ was willing to go through that beating. That's how important physical healing is. Now, in sermons over the years, I've heard some good sermons, and then the speaker will start to talk about physical healing, and he'll quickly sidestep and go into, well, maybe God will heal you, maybe he won't. Right away, the doubt enters in, okay? Maybe he will heal you, maybe he won't. But what really matters is that we have our spiritual sins forgiven. We're going to be in the kingdom of God. Well, wait a minute. That's not the way the scripture deals with this subject. That physical scourging and physical healing is very important. Just because it's physical doesn't ever mean that in any way it should be minimized. It should be greatly respected and revered. It should be understood and spotlighted by the church. We're not into some type of false competition between the wine and the bread. Both are very important, but they both have their reasons. That's why you have the wine. That's why you have the broken bread. You break that bread. Of course, prior to that, you have the foot washing. All of these, shall we say, what we go through, these enactments that we go through during the Passover service, all of it has meaning, and it's all important. No way should we ever minimize physical healing. It's never to be minimized, okay? So when the Father witnessed this terrible scourging, he had to see that. Do you think it was a minor thing in his eyes to see what he loved more than anything else in the world just because, quote, it was physical? And of course, I know you value that, but it was very, very important to the Father. He wants it to be very important to us, and I know it's important to you. Okay, the handout, top part of the handout, which I will mail out to you in Oklahoma and other parts of the country, wherever you're listening, the Carolinas, New York, Indiana, and different places around the country where you're listening, Tennessee, trying to think of some of the other areas, Louisiana. We'll get this to you. Okay, so I quote from Mr. Herbert Armstrong, The Plain Truth About Healing, and we'll just read it very quickly. And I know those of you on Zoom don't have it, but this is important. So let's now continue in the 8th chapter of Matthew. When even was come, the end of the Sabbath, they brought unto him many who were possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all who were sick. There's not some type of spiritual healing here. This is physical healing. We don't use that word spiritual healing because it creates confusion. Well, what do you mean by that? Now, there is mental wholeness. There's emotional wellness. That's true. But we're talking about physical healing here in Matthew 8, 16 through 17. And he said, quoting the book of Isaiah, himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. Clearly, Matthew 8, verses 16 through 17, a clear reference to physical healing. And he quotes this from the book of Isaiah. And I'm just driving home again and again. Physical healing. When you have somebody in great pain, or they're afraid they're dying, or you're afraid they're dying, or you're in pain, or your children are suffering, is physical healing important? Oh, absolutely. And I think the church has grown weak in this over the years. I think in part because the church has been involved with so many splits and separations, it's been kind of lost. I hope, God willing, maybe during the Feast of Tabernacles, I'll go into this subject in much greater depth. And the feast is going to be here before you know it. So, because healing's a very big part of the kingdom of God, but we'll wait till later. But you can see what Mr. Armstrong understood, and he understood that very clearly early on in his ministry. And then in blue and bold, I just highlight what Mr. Armstrong said. The scripture above quoted, it says that Jesus took our infirmity, sickness, okay, bear our sicknesses, but not on the cross. This is very important to understand, and I'm just reminding you. It's just good to be reminded, but not on the cross. That was separate. That had to do with something else that was separate. That you're dealing more with the wine and the blood that was shed. Ultimately, remember the Roman soldier thrust that spear up into his body cavity in water and the blood spilled out. They scourged Jesus, beat him, breaking open the flesh of his body before taking him to Golgotha to be nailed to the cross. And then he goes through Psalm 103, verses 8 through 13, which talks about, it's a beautiful psalm. Personal opinion, I think it was Dwight Armstrong's best composure, words and music. It's just absolutely beautiful. Sometimes we sing it at the Passover, or we sing In Thy Loving Kindness, Lord. Usually one or the other we sing, but Psalm 103, definitely healing oriented, physical healing oriented, who forgives us of our sins and heals us of all our diseases. So it's just very clear from his writing. I had a very interesting visit this week. I was over in Northern California in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I visited with a couple. And basically, the whole conversation of our visit sometime was, why isn't there more healing in churches? Now, they don't know my background. I mean, they don't know I was associated with a church called the Radio Church of God, which became the Worldwide Church of God. And we got talking about this particular subject, and they were very, very interested. And they asked what I thought, and I said, well, it's clear from Scripture, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That never changed. You know, we pride ourselves as a church in a way, you know, we keep the Sabbath, we keep the holy days, and we often reference that passage and we say, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Ancient Israel kept the festivals and the holy day and the Sabbath. And then the New Testament did the same. We believe in the kingdom of God. We will do the same. But that applies to healing as well. And if there's lesser healings in the church today, it is not because God doesn't want to heal people. You're dealing with a whole different matter there. And I'll go into that in what Herbert Armstrong thought about that, which I think he was right, why that is. Well, in part, it's because we become such a materialistic society. Also, when you live in a culture where it's brother against brother and there's anger and hostility, I don't think you're going to see as much healing in general. I'm not referring to anyone you know or anyone here at all, because I know you all fear God and people we love fear God. I'm just talking in general terms now, because healing is a great act of love. That scourging was an enormous act of love on the part of Jesus Christ to endure that, so we could claim physical healing. But then you have to put a fresh coat of paint on the subject to liven it up again, to strengthen faith in that area. And God willing, I'll be doing that soon. And I know you believe in it. I'm not doubting you at all. I just look at our culture today and how it beats us up and wears us down and tires us out and sucks the spiritual energy out of all of us. You know, it's not a lack of dedication here that people aren't healed. That is not it at all. But we live in Satan's world. Satan makes people sick. God is not the author of sickness. This is Satan's world. We all have something to some degree physically. It isn't working quite right. It's just a matter of degrees. Welcome to Satan's world, right? I hate it. Anyway, I got talking to this couple, and we were just talking about that, and they said it seems, now they're connected with a totally different church and so on. They said when we went to Nicaragua and Honduras, it did seem there were more dramatic healings there. And they weren't silly people. And I said, probably because they hungered more for physical healing there. Because you get into third world countries and you're sick and you're more desperate. And there's something about that. And then the lady talked about a time she was healed, and I believed her. She wasn't a frivolous person. She burned her hand severely. She's probably in her early 70s, late 60s. She told me she was healed, and I believe her. I don't think she'd lie about that. I'm very careful if somebody tells me they're healed. Usually I believe them, unless they're just silly people, because I certainly, if they were healed, I certainly don't want to say you weren't healed when God healed them. I definitely don't want to be on the wrong side of that ledger. And remember, Christ healed the woman of great faith who probably didn't keep the Sabbath or the holy days or any of that. She was a Syrophoenician woman. And the centurion's servant who was healed probably wasn't a Sabbath keeper. Don't misunderstand. I believe in the Sabbath and the holy days. Loma Armstrong, when she was healed, God used a man who wasn't keeping the Sabbath. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying it's okay to break the Sabbath. And you can read about that in the autobiography. Now, later on, the man learned about the Sabbath and rejected it. And then he lost the gift of healing, which is a fascinating story. Healing is important. There is no way the Father allowed Jesus Christ to go through that humiliation and that brutality and then wanting his people to doubt his desire to see healing take place, physical healing. I know questions come up regarding that, and I'll give you my opinion some other time. Just remember, Satan is constantly trying to whittle away our faith regarding this subject, constantly beating us and trying to get us to lose heart. Okay, let's go to this famous linguist. And this is why I reproduce this, because I just want you to see this and understand this. This man was considered, even to this day, I heard this man quoted by somebody else in a major group, not a Sabbath keeping group, because they were talking about his expertise, and he was world renowned back in the 1930s. I often wondered if Mr. Armstrong, who was well read, probably read his work on the subject, because some of what Mr. Armstrong says and the way he says it is very similar to what this man said. His name was T.J. McCrossin, and I actually got a photo of him for you back there. Okay, he wrote this, I think his book came out in 1930. And I'm not saying if you look at his book, and I do have the book, it's hard to come by. Much of what he writes would be something we would definitely agree with. Scripturally strong, zeroed in, locked in, and very strong in faith in that subject matter. I'm not talking about other subject matters, okay? You know, people have strengths and weaknesses. We got a lot of our insights into Judas Scepter and Joseph Birthright by a man named Allen, who, to my knowledge, never understood the holy days, but he understood the identity of Israel and the end time tribes. I don't know why God doesn't just give everybody all understanding across every matter. I don't know why. Anyway, I'm simply trying to point out this man understood Greek and Hebrew. Okay. Clearly, when you go through passages in 1 Peter 2, where Peter says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, by whose stripes, bruise, you were healed. Now, this is utterly fascinating of him by itself. And Herbert Armstrong used to talk about this. The way this is stated, God already determined the healing of the person a long time ago. You see, now we go to God and we claim that, and that's why it's so important to understand exactly what we believe and what we're claiming. It's a physical claim for human wellness and health. And this man understood this, and he was world renowned in terms of his understanding of the Greek and the Hebrew. Okay. In Isaiah, he says, the Septuagint, which was the Greek version, He was wounded on account of our sins. He was bruised because of our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his bruise, he goes into a little bit of the original language there, we are healed. Then he makes these two statements. For those of you on Zoom, I'll mail this to you. So we should have absolute clarity, total confidence, but faith needs to be strengthened at times, does it not? We all need strengthening in our faith, and clarity helps to strengthen. Point number one, the word healed here, and I thought this was so interesting, and I highlighted it in yellow, both the Septuagint, the Greek New Testament, and probably there were many in the New Testament era who read that Greek Bible. The verb there, which is used, iome, probably not pronouncing it correctly, but that Greek verb always speaks of physical healing, physical healing. You see, this man was fighting a similar battle we are fighting today, and he was fighting this battle in the 1920s. Many of the churches back then said that physical healing should not be an expectation of church people, that physical healing, that blessing was only given to the first century church, but it died with the apostles. That's what most churches taught. That, you know, they were establishing the church, and back in the first century, that's why you had all these physical healings, but it doesn't really apply today. And what's important is, though God may occasionally heal, just occasionally he maybe will heal, God wants us to develop character and build character. One of the ways we build character is through physical suffering. May I remind you, be careful of the human mind. Jesus Christ healed everyone who came to him. There was no exception. He healed self-righteous people. He healed women. He healed harlots. He healed Gentiles. Every single person who came to him, he healed. Not one time, bear with me, don't get upset. Not one time did he ever say to any woman or man, I'm not going to heal you because I want you to suffer and build character. You cannot find that in the scripture. Now, I know if you go to Mark, let's go to Mark 6, not that you're thinking this. I'm just trying to show you how clear God is on this particular subject. So if you go to Mark chapter 6, let's go to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, in verse 1, it says, Jesus Christ goes to his hometown, and his disciples followed him, and on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue in his hometown. Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? We knew this young man. All of a sudden he seems to be so wise. What went on here? Verse 3, is this not the carpenter's son? The son of Mary and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters with us? We don't know how many exactly, but he came from a large family. And apparently when he was growing up, according to the biblical record, he wasn't healing people. He started his healing at a certain time. I won't get into that today. Now, Jesus said to them, a prophet, in verse 4, is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. People who did come to him were healed, but most didn't come to him. They weren't interested. Do you see? They weren't even interested. They were so hardened, maybe so filled with doubt and just a hardness of heart because he was a hometown young man. And they just couldn't quite believe it. And he marveled at their unbelief. Had they had just a little belief and come to him, they would have been healed. I will state this again. You go back to our old literature, we say all these things. I'm not telling you stories here today. Jesus Christ healed everyone who came to him. It was one of the ways that he demonstrated the kingdom of God, which is filled with healing. Okay? And I'm sure he even healed some self-righteous types. And he healed some women who didn't obey their husbands. And he healed some men who probably occasionally flirted with somebody who wasn't their wife. He dealt with imperfect people. You don't have to be perfect to be healed, physically healed. I know you know that, but it's a good reminder. Now, God may choose for different reasons to handle a healing in a certain way. And there could be, possibly, reasons for not healing. But I don't want to get into that today. And quite frankly, I'm afraid to get into that. But I will eventually, because faith is so big in this topic, most people don't or choose not to have the capacity to wrap their arms around this. And I'll tell you again, Jesus Christ healed everyone who came to him. Weren't a bunch of qualifications, brethren. Does that mean I can be an adulterer and then ask Mr. Carlson to heal me? Well, you know, Jesus Christ also said to somebody, he said, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. So that man was doing something he shouldn't have been doing. But even that individual was healed. Does God believe in healing? More so than you and I in this whole room fully understands or appreciates. He is very much a loving God who deeply desires healing. Now, there are questions about timing and when things happen, and are there sometimes delays? And you read Herbert Armstrong, the subject matter. He's just as clear and as blunt as I am. And I'm not saying you don't have faith, but we all come out of this environment, this world, where Satan's going to do everything he can to flood the human mind with doubt, fatigue, discouragement on this particular topic. Because this is Satan's world. We are in a war. And he will attack our faith. Okay, let's continue here. And I got to see what time it is. Oh, I think I'll just probably stick to this alone today. Had another doctrine. So, now he goes into something which I thought was very interesting. So he says in yellow, 28 times in the New Testament, and also if this has a connection with physical healing, that I know I'm driving this home. Physical healing. Stripes is a clear reference to physical healing. Physical healing. Point number two, he's speaking of Isaiah and Peter using the word bruise and stripe, not bruises or stripes. Now, this is interesting. I lean a bit in his camp here because he's the linguist, and this is really interesting. What he says, the way the construction of the Greek is, that Christ was beaten so severely, his back was just totally ripped to shreds. It was like it was one big bruise. You know, it wasn't a few stripes along the shoulder blades and a few stripes across the adrenal kidney area in the back and a few stripes maybe in the dead set middle of the back. That the original language gives a sense of absolute whipping or scourging of every inch of that back. This is how savage it was. And he may be right. Obviously, we weren't there to see it. Then he says the Greek word for physician is hierotros, a noun derived from the same verb, all related to physical healing. We can therefore, in red I put this, be fully assured that when Peter declares by his stripes, this his back was so beaten, this huge bruise of contorted flesh and blood and muscle tissue opened up. By his stripes, ye were healed. He is referring to our bodily healing and not to any spiritual healing. Very clear in the original language, okay? Never a reason to doubt. Now, sometimes if occasionally you'll hear or read someone and they won't even mention Matthew chapter 8, 16 through 17. And you've got to be careful too, because maybe they believe in it and maybe that is going to be in part two of their article, or, you know, people change. At the same time, we don't want to be naive. I'm telling you, this is starting to take root in various churches and among God's people. Not everyone, but we want to place on a great pedestal Jesus Christ, who endured that terrible scourging so we could claim the promise of healing. It's all part of faith, strengthening our faith and discerning the Lord's body. Okay, point number two. Here, both Isaiah and Peter use the singular word bruise. I went through that. In Matthew 27, verse 26, we read regarding Pilate, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. This literally reads, and having scourged Jesus, after the scourging, then he was delivered to be crucified. Mark 15, 15 gives us the same information. If Christ had been so scourged that the mark of each blow could plainly have been seen on his back, then the rule of Greek grammar would have demanded here the use of a different word, or similar but different, bruises, not the singular word bruise. So do you understand what he's saying? God ultimately knows, but what he's saying is that scourging was even more brutal than you or I realized, because he was hit so many times that it just turned into one mass of ruptured flesh. Sometimes in movies, they'll show a few stripes, you know, at the top of the back and a few stripes. And there were stripes, sir, but there were so many, it just was this huge, huge area of the body, which was just ripped apart. I think of the kingdom of God, we will know more. So I'm not trying to push that on you, but it did grab my attention. Every spot, he says, on his back was so bruised and lacerated that it was just like one great bruise. And that was probably more close to the truth. It says the Jews had a law that no person should be given more than 40 stripes when flogged. I read a book by a man, and he said the 39 stripes of Christ, and he goes through all these 39 reasons for healing, and it was quite well done. But I remember reading it. The Jews had a law where when you were scourged, you had to do one less than 40, so you were struck 39 times. But you have to understand, Jews did not scourge him. Romans scourged him, okay? And he brings this out. Now, the Romans had no such law. The law was 40 stripes save one, 39 stripes. Now, with the Romans, so they often scourged their victim until he bled to death. But besides scourging Jesus on the back until his whole back was one great bruise, I tend to think more now that's what happened, that the scourging, there were so many blows, probably more than 40. The cruel Romans then plucked out his whiskers, they pulled on his beard, spat upon him. Isaiah 15, verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from the shame and the spitting. And we do see from other accounts that he was so beaten and so swollen from the beating, even in the face, you couldn't tell who he was. This is how savage it was. Is physical healing important to the Father? Is physical healing important to the Son? Oh, absolutely. Then it goes on, talks about the scourging. In many cases, not only was the back of the person scourged cut open in all directions, but even the eyes, the face, and the breast were torn, and the teeth sometimes were knocked out. I'm not saying his teeth were knocked out here, okay? Because not one bone was broken, and, you know, the teeth are bone, right? So I wouldn't think the teeth were knocked out. Under the fury of the countless stripes, the victims sank amidst screams, convulsive leaps, and distortions into a heap, a senseless heap. Sometimes died on the spot, sometimes were taken away, an unrecognizable mass of bleeding flesh to find deliverance and death from the inflammation and fever and sickness and shame. How long did that scourging last? Did they beat him for a bit? Go get a drink of water, relax, then have at it again? I don't know. Did it last an hour? Did they do it in intervals? Did they have different people do the scourging at different times? It was brutal, so brutal, Christ, remember, could not carry the cross. And he was a healthy man. And he was a man who walked all around the countryside of Judea and Galilee up to Tyre. He was not a weak man. We always believed he was quite a masculine man. So they really went at it with him. They absolutely went at it. So the scourging of Jesus was the severest, for the soldiers only too gladly vented on any Jew the grudge they bore the nation. You didn't want to be assigned the area of Judea if you were a Roman soldier because they were troublesome people. It was like, oh, I can't believe they're sending me here. They take it out on the Jews. That's true. That's historically true. And I quote Eusebius, an early historian, that often when people were scourged, he saw a scourging all around, were horrified to see the scourging because sometimes the veins would pop out and laid bare and the inner muscles and the sinews would be seen and even the very bones were exposed. And I quote, and this is true to this day, I'm not just quoting a lightweight linguistic. T.J. McCrossin was unmatched in Greek and Hebrew in terms of understanding linguistics. And I just remind all of you, he said clearly it was a reference, this terrible scourging was a reference to a physical beating, which was connected to this belief that we can hold firm to and have no doubt whatsoever of physical healing, that God the Father deeply desires physical healing, and so does the Son. So let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. I know you believe this, but it was inspiring. Inspiring may not be the word, but it was sobering. And it just helps to clarify this from time to time, to understand how important physical healing is to God, and that the reference to the scourging didn't have to do with some type of spiritual, quote unquote, healing. It had to do with physical healing. The wine has to do with the forgiveness of sin, which is spiritual, which is very important. So they brought all who were oppressed by demons, verse 16 of Matthew 8. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. It was a physical healing. It wasn't some type of emotional healing. I know this is a catchword in our culture. Well, I need to be emotionally healed, or I need closure. People say these things, and I'm not making fun of any of that. People live in Satan's world, and we're all damaged in different ways. But this is a reference to physical healing, and it's a wonderful reference. And we're reminded right there by Matthew, okay, that he took our illnesses and bore our diseases. It has to do with diseases and physical sickness. And you can go through Isaiah 53 as well and see the same thing. So I wanted you to see it. I wanted you to see what this linguist had to say about the subject. Very respected man. Be careful. It'd be wrong for me to judge anyone regarding the topic. At the same time, it is starting to go through the churches. It's been there for some time that by the stripes we are healed. Don't be focused on that as part of physical healing. Yes, God does heal, but that has to do with the total sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And what's important is we're forgiven of our sins. Don't let people start to push you off the topic here. Physical healing's very important. He's our Savior. He saves us from our spiritual sins. He saves us from Satan's world, which is filled with physical illness and all types of physical disease. I'll get into this topic more in the future. We have a loving Father and a Son who is willing to go through all of this. And I just wanted to do that today because it's been a topic some others have spoken about a bit as well, and I really appreciate what they've covered. I just wanted you to see particularly what this linguist had to say. Not that he's all understanding in every area, but you can have the absolute confidence this is a reference to physical healing. I had another topic I was going to go through today, but I'm not going to get into that. because I don't want to rush it. But there are some things circulating in churches that are just wrong, you know, just strange false teachings that are beginning to gain traction. We'll wait till another time to do that. So great to be here. And Corey and Sabrina, thanks for your hospitality. And girls, congratulations, and a real special day for us. So enjoy the Sabbath.